everybody, you're all right there? It's great. I've never been here before. I don't know Cork at all. It's like a big adventure, this. And I'm going to sing this song. I wrote this little poem. This boat basically sank off the coast of Devon near Sidmouth. It's called the Napoli. And all this, basically, people went down there and started stealing things from it. And the TV cameras were down there, just rolled the TV cameras, watching people steal all the stuff. And so this is called the Napoli. I wrote it as a poem, and then I realised it fitted to the tune of Lord Franklin, which is an old English folk song about a very noble person who sought the passage, the Northwest Passage. So this is called the Napoli. Down Branscombe Beach I made my way, past watching policemen in the month of May. To get some booty was no crime. It was January, really, but it didn't rhyme. Take it down a bit, I think it's too high. These hardy wreckers in droves they came. Or was it looting by another name? From all the corners of the West Country, seeking the wreck of the Napoli. All mounds of nappies and styrofoam, towards the stricken wreck I then did roam, to break the cases of the Napoli, and get some stuff that didn't belong to me. I got some perfume and a motorbike, and some net curtains that my mum would like. I stashed them carefully at 1:30, but when I got back the lot had gone. Some greedy bastard had seized his luck and chucked the lot into a pickup truck, bound for eBay or the Free Ad Press. Just who buys all this crap, I can only guess. All day we toiled on the freezing beach, nicking barrels and some Trago bleach. For empty barrels, we braved the surf, a piece of trellis and a soggy smurf. The wind was cold and the waves were high, when a dying cormorant I did espy. Such oily feathers, what could I do? I just ignored it and battled through. The bold receiver on her milk-white steed surveyed this bitter scene of manic greed. A bloke in a four-wheel drive Subaru, he was the only one who ever came through. On Tuesday the 23rd of January, police they cordoned off the raging sea. How many policemen no tongue can tell, and did it stop them? Well, did it? Hell. So the moral's there for all to see. Just help yourself to people's property. Finders keepers, or so they say. I'm sure they'll hand it in on Saturday. Thank you. I bought this little mirror with distressed paintwork, and I just imagined if all of the rest of my furniture had human characteristics. And at the end of this, we sing a little bit of a Beatles song, so please join in. This is called Distressed. My furniture is all distressed. It's unusually unstable. The oak bookcase is quite depressed, as is the coffee table. The worktop has a thin veneer. It seethes beneath the surface. The taps know how low they can sink and think life has no purpose. The painted window frame's been stripped of dignity. It's lacquered. The blue front door's morale has dipped. The cheese board is cream crackered. The writing bureau doesn't give a jot. The cupboard suffers mockery. It hates the plates and has no mates. It misuses jugs and the fine bone china tea set. I couldn't think of a rhyme for that line. The kitchen table's past is stained. The dishwasher has worries. Last week it broke down and explained that it was missing curries. The settle never settles. The new desk is neurotic. The chaise longue is invariably wrong. The sofa is psychotic. The fay pouffet is apt to weep. It's covered in wet tissues. The rocking chair will never sleep. The magazine rack has big issues. The bed's always horizontal. The tall boy is a cross-dresser. The umbrella stand is second hand and feel its worth is lesser. The mirror, which reflects, neglects the fine wine rack, which whines. The shelves themselves, it's all like this. The shelves themselves lack shelf respect. The dining table pines. The mantelpiece has no mental piece. It's fired up with wrath. The wood burner has lost its spark. The wardrobe is a goth. The expo's beams aren't what they seem. The ceiling's always plastered. The landing has a manic stare. It's an evil little bastard. The piano's case isn't black and white. The floorboards feel downtrodden. The dressing table's dressed to kill. The minibar is sodden. The ottoman is not a man, but it's no couch, potato. The teak footstool's a crazy fool who talks in Greek from Plato. The blinds feel they're kept in the dark. The door's alarmed, whenever. The curtains talk of hanging. They need to pull themselves together. Yes, my furniture is all distressed, but they've reason for concern. I must get it off my chest. Tomorrow, they will burn. I once had the best furniture, but it got distressed. So I lit a fire. Isn't it good? Norwegian wood. Give yourselves a big round of applause. I'm a retired teacher, my daughter's a teacher, but she came to me one day, and I'm a bit of a stickler for grammar, and, you know, when certain words are misused, and she said, Dad, you know, she was talking about something she saw. She said, I was literally knocked out by it. I said, no, you weren't literally knocked out by it. If you're literally knocked out by it, you'd be on the floor, unconscious. That is literally knocked out, so I wrote this. And the word like is you know, I was liking, he was liking, you were liking, it was like, oh, we're like, you know. And then now the word so has come in, doesn't it? So. This is called so like, literally awesome. The place was literally awesome. There was some awe in place. I was literally gobsmacked. I got punched right in the face. I was literally flying, like floating round the room. You were literally spaced out. You were like over the moon. We were literally out of this world. The earth could not contain us. You were literally on another planet. I think it was Uranus. I used to know this awful bloke. He was cylindrical and thick. He had a body shaped like a penis. He was literally a prick. He literally got hammered once. His skull crushed into pieces. He literally died of embarrassment. He's on the recently deceased list. Alison was literally bowled over. She was a bowling alley skittle. She was literally shattered. I'd always found her brittle. The footballers were literally knackered and sent to the knacker's yard. The team was literally slaughtered, their flesh bottled and jarred. So I literally hit the road, but the road like hit me back. I was literally gutted, my intestines on the track. Then I literally lost my marbles, I found them. When I literally lost my head, I was literally mortified. I was literally dead. I was literally in heaven. I rang St. Peter's bell and I was like, oh my God. And God was like, bloody hell. And then God literally exploded. He was like literally on fire. And that was literally the end of the world for me. But I'm like, literally, a liar. It's only words, and words are all I have to like, literally, take your heart away. Thank you. I came to Ireland to escape the royal wedding. It's like bloody everywhere, isn't it? But this is a royal item that was on the news Christmas before us, which I couldn't quite believe. This is called The Queen Has a Cold. The news, December the 21st, 2016. The Queen, 90, has a cold, and her Christmas visit to Sandringham has been delayed. Prince Philip, 95, has a cold, and his Christmas visit to Sandringham has been delayed. Doris Hodgkins, 91, has a cold, and will miss her visit to the Age UK Christmas dinner in Brierley Hill. Walter Pringle, 90, has a cold and will not be able to get to the carol service at the British Legion in Oswaldwistle Social Club. Minnie Wilson, 93, has a cold and will not be able to attend the pantomime Babes in the Wood at the Civic Hall Wolverhampton with her old friend Ron. Samira Chowdhury, 94, has a cold and will not be able to travel from the Sycamore Grange retirement home to be with her family in Croydon. Wilfred Bennett, 96, has a cold And you can't go to the ex-Seamen's Christmas do in Devonport. Agnes Tilly, 88, has a cold and will miss the Christmas party at the Bettle and Chisel pub in Delaborn. The news, December the 22nd, 2016. The Queen and Prince Philip have been flown to Sandringham in a private helicopter. Doris Hodgkins has been flown to the Age UK Christmas dinner in Brawley Hill from her home in Netherton in her private helicopter. Walter Pringle has been driven to the carol service at the British Legion in Oswestwistle Social Club in his privately owned Panzerkampfwagen tank. Minnie Wilson has been flown to the pantomime Babes in the Wood at the Civic Hall in Wolverhampton by the Red Arrows. Samira Chowdhury has been flown from the Sycamore Grange retirement home to be with her family in Croydon in her private reconditioned Harrier jump jet. Wilfred Bennett has made it to the ex-Seamen's Christmas do in Devonport in his private nuclear submarine, HMS Remorseless. Agnes Tilly has travelled to the Christmas party at the Bettle and Chisel in Delaval in an alien spaceship she commandeered from the Mingons of the planet Narg. God save the Queen from any inconvenience. Thank you. I listen to Radio 4 a lot, and I misheard. I heard something on the radio. The guy said it's 17 in Aberdeen. The weatherman said it's 17 in Aberdeen, and it can get pretty cold up there, I guess. You know, this is a special day for them. I picture them having, you know, like parties celebrating 17 degrees Celsius, and so this is called 17 in Aberdeen. And the refrain is, "But it's 17 in Aberdeen." Do you want to try that? 1, 2, 3. But it's 17 in Aberdeen. And if you, I heard a Scottish accent earlier on. I swear I did.
Rabbi.
So if you hear your town give a little cheer, you're allowed like maximum 2 cheers in the whole pub. There's 46 Scottish place names in this.
There'll be some cheering, don't it?
Oh, it's damp and grey on the River Spey, and it's dark and dank there too. But it's 17 in Aberdeen, and the sky's an azure blue. How cold it feels in Gala Shields, and it's blowing quite a hoolie. But it's 17 in Aberdeen, no need to wear a woolly. The fog hangs thick in the town of Wick, and it's cloudy in Kirkcaldy. But it's 17 in Aberdeen, where you can tan your body. It's lashing down in Lennox Town, it's drizzling in Dundee. But it's 17 in Aberdeen, and it's the hottest place to be. The waves are tossing in Ardrossan and in the Firth of Tay. But it's 17 in Aberdeen. It's a very lovely day. There's a layer of mist in South Uist. It's below par in Stranraer. But it's 17 in Aberdeen, and it's melting all the tar. It's a trifle dull on the Isle of Mull. There are showers up on Skye. But it's 17 in Aberdeen, and nobody knows why. There's wind and sleet on Prince's Street and in Stirling. And if you've been any of these places, just give me it. And in Stirling, it's cyclonic. But it's 17 in Aberdeen, and they're mixing a gin and tonic. There are winter storms in the High Cairn Gorms, and it's frosty in Cornosti. But it's 17 in Aberdeen, it's just as warm as toasty. It's brass monkeys around Dumfries. Snow's falling in Falkirk. But it's 17 in Aberdeen, and they're taking the day off work. The sun don't shine in Kincardine, much less in Inverness. But it's 17 in Aberdeen. Oh, yes, 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 yes. The weather's poor in Stenhouse Muir and up on Arthur's Seat. But it's 17 in Aberdeen, and they're dancing in bare feet. Few sunny spells on the Campsie Fells, far, far fewer in Forfar. But it's 17 in Aberdeen. So schön, so wunderbar. It's extremely cool in Ullapool. It's gloomy in Glenrothes. But it's 17 in Aberdeen, where they're taking off their clothes. They've chilblained hands in Preston Pans, and it's vile up in Argyll. But it's 17 in Aberdeen, and the city is one big smile. There's a belt of rain across Dunblane and an air of trepidation. But it's 17 in Aberdeen, and there's no precipitation. The lakes are frozen south of Oban. They're throwing snowballs in the Gorballs. But it's 17 in Aberdeen. And cricketers are bowling no balls. It's rough on the Clyde and in East Kilbride, and it's dire on the Mull of Kintyre. But it's 17 in Aberdeen. What more could they desire? There's no sign of sun in Livingston, and it's Spartan in Dumbarton. But it's 17 in Aberdeen, and the celebration's starting. The floods run deep in Cowdenbeath, though shallower in Alloa. but it's 17 in Aberdeen with a warm Hawaiian aloha. There's a small typhoon going through Dunoon. There's a dearth of mirth in Perth. But it's 17 in Aberdeen, you can see it on Google Earth. There's some concern today in Nairn. There's a hard gale in Ardguy. But it's 17 in Aberdeen, that is all I have to say. Yes, it's 17 in Aberdeen and they're bursting into song. Aye, it's 17 in Aberdeen, but it won't be for long. Thank you. Thank you very much, you're very kind. Me and Liz went to the island of La Gomera. She's next to Tenerife. You get a cheap flight to Tenerife. I mean, I don't know if you're going to be beautiful either. Anyway, went to this restaurant, and the restaurant's had all the usual stuff on the menu, you know. And but it also said meat with the potatoes, M-E-E-T. So, and we went there that evening to have a meal. It was very nice, but the potato family never showed up. So this is called meat with the potatoes. I'm going to meet with the potatoes. They're the kind of spuds you like. They'll all be wearing jackets, but they won't be made by Nike. When you meet with the potatoes, you won't find them on the stair, because they are couch potatoes, or as the French say, pomme de chair. There's the lovely Maris Piper, King Edward's known as Ted. If he ever marries, he'll need eyes in the back of his head. I once loved a hot potato, but she couldn't have been colder. She was inclined to waffle, and had a big chip on her shoulder. If you've got a beef with the potatoes, just keep it off the boil, and if you dig the potatoes, just get rid of excess soil. If I was a potato, I'd get roasted in a tin, but I'll never be a potato, because I'm comfortable in my own skin. Thank you. I've got this thing about sayings and phrases that don't stand up to scrutiny. There are lots of phrases and sayings. People say, you can be anything you want to be. Bollocks, you can't be anything you want to be, necessarily. You can do your best. You know, have ambitions. So this is called Reach for the Stars. Reach for the stars, unless you work on a submarine. Follow your dreams, unless they're really scary nightmares. Laughter is the best medicine, unless you've got a hernia. Be yourself, unless you have a multiple personality. Eat your five a day, but not Mars bars. Be positive, say, I can do this, and yes we can, unless it involves plumbing or electricity. Love thy neighbour as thyself, unless you live next door to Piers Morgan. A picture is worth 1,000 words, but Tracy Emin's sore bed was worth £2 million. Be an open book, but have a bookmark handy just in case you lose your place. Value your friends. Find out how much you could get for them at an auction. Walk tall, unless you've got a really low ceiling. Never judge a book by its cover. Unless it's got the words 50 shades on it, it'll be shit, believe me. The bigger they are, the harder they fall, unless they hit you first. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Birds of a feather flock together. The early bird catches the worm. Don't mess with birds. No man is an island, except the Isle of Man. Is the Pope a Catholic? Yes, he is. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. I begged the lion when I worked at Dudley Zoo. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step, but so does a journey of 2 steps. Don't count your chickens before they're hatched. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. It's no use crying over spilt milk. Avoid farms. Rome wasn't built in a day, neither was Milton Keynes. Slow and steady wins the race, unless you're in the 100 metres Olympic final. The only thing to fear is fear itself and very hungry crocodiles. Red sky at night, shepherd's delight. Red sky in the morning, shepherd's warning. Red sky in the daytime, nuclear war, no shepherds. Taking the bull by the horns will probably take the wind out of your sails. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, advised the social worker. Truth is stranger than fiction. You just couldn't make it up, could you? Believe in yourself, unless you're the tooth fairy or Father Christmas. Money can't buy you happiness. Put your money where your mouth is. Money doesn't grow on trees. Money makes the world go round. Money is the root of all evil. Can anybody lend me a fiver? Lightning never strikes in the same place twice, except on the Catatumbo River in Venezuela, which receives 158 strikes per square kilometre per year. The more we learn, the less we know, was Michael Gove's education policy. If you could walk a mile in my shoes, you'd know all about the crack in my soul. And finally, he who laughs last, laughs longest. Ha! That's it. Thank you. How much more do you want me to do? You just tell me time, because I know you're running a bit late.
We're okay.
You're okay. I'll do like about three more then. I don't know if any of you know the southeast of England. The Margate's got the Turner Gallery.
Yeah.
And we went. I was performing at Broadstairs Folk Week, and we went for a walk to the Turner Gallery. I thought I might see some Turners, JMW Turner, but Tracy Emin, who I mentioned just now, was having an exhibition. And I'm not a big fan of Tracy Emin, which is odd because apparently she speaks very highly of me. But when we got there, anyway. So this is called, and as you probably know, most famous exhibit was the bed, which I think sold for £2 million, used condoms and dirty beer cans. And I thought, yeah, I could do that. So this is called No Turners at the Turner. No Turners at the Turner, just Tracy Emin's doodles. No condom-littered bed this time to trick the art world poodles. But no salty simmering seascapes. No homebound fishing trawler. Just the naked fore and aft of an amateurish scrawler. No mystical mist across the Thames. No spiralling seabirds. Just languid linear bodies described by misspelt words. For me, she puts artistic skill at the back of the back burner. But could she ever paint like JMW Turner? I guess my anger clearly showed. I mean, who do they think they're fooling when up stepped an art critic to give me some artistic schooling? What a turn up. What a turn of events with no turners at the Turner. He fixed me with an arrogant stare. His stern eyes couldn't have been sterner. He said, "It's the concept, darling, can't you see? This is conceptual art. It's the ideas that are important. Now just where do I start? You just don't get it, do you? You're just not one of us. This is a modern movement, not a 57 bus. You're just looking for faults here. You just don't know the score. Take Tracy's bed. What's that you said? None of us can draw. We are here to shock you. Yes, shock, dear. That's the key. What's that I hear you muttering? You'd like to murder me." So I took him by his scrawny neck and I strangled him on the floor. And I whipped out my old penknife and removed his lower jaw. Then I hanged and drew and courted him and displayed him on a hook for all the shell-shock visitors to come and have a look. And I labelled it conceptual art. They labelled me iconic. I became a millionaire overnight. Damien Hirst was histrionic. My painting medium is elephant shit. The zoo gives me endless supplies. I got the chimps to daub some on and we won the Turner Prize. And now they pay to see my stuff. They don't get in for gratis. So no Turners at the Turner turned me into the new con artist. Thank you. Thank you. This is called The God of Data. I retired from teaching 7 years ago, and the thing that still does my head in, I still do a lot of work for the union, the NEU-NUT, was, have you got it in Ireland? Data-driven assessment, ticking boxes, learning objectives. Have you got all that? Because I won't do it otherwise. No, I won't do that one. Okay. Well, basically, it's all about assessment, and you know the schools have become exam factories, basically. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Let us assess this one.
Yeah. I want an A. Okay. So this is called the God of. I imagined it got so bad. I imagined there was a God. There had to be a God in the sky, like that medieval painting with the finger pointing down, and he was basically brainwashing all the middle managers into using data, like the reification, the making real of data, like numbers and letters are real things when, you know, they're children. And anyway, this is, when I wrote this, Michael Gove, have you heard of Michael Gove?
Yeah.
Well, he was the Secretary of Education at the time, unfortunately, it says here. Yeah. So he, yeah. This is called The God of Data, a lesson from the book of Dataronomy. And the God of Data sat on his heavenly throne and he looked down upon the world of education and he said, "They know not what they do. I shall create a new world of education, and it shall be created in 5 days, like what there are in a school week." And on the first day, the God of Data created levels and targets so that all of the children could be numbered to be judged on the judgment day. And the targets were many and pointless. And the God of Data said, the target shall be smart, silly, meaningless, awful, and really tedious. And they were. And those who did not believe in targets were cast out into the wilderness, and those who did not reach their targets were made to feel inadequate. And that word did put the fear of God into them. And on the second day, the God of Data created jargon, and the jargon did bamboozle and befuddle the teachers and made them feel inadequate. And yea, behold, there were action plans, quality control, and differentiated success criteria. And the God of Data performed miracles upon the earth. He changed children into learners and schools into professional learning communities. And lo, it was impactful, outcome-based and synergistic. And the disciples of the God of Data facilitated his will. For they did take learning walks, and the disciples moved in their mysterious ways, their wonders to perform. And this too put the fear of God into the teachers, which is what the disciples wanted. And on the third day, the God of Data said, let there be league tables. And there were league tables. He said, let us make education like the Premiership so that all can spout statistics. Schools should be political footballs, and we should ignore socioeconomic factors like free school dinners, for they are the work of the devil. And it was so. And on the fourth day, the God of Data sent down to earth the angel Ofsted. Have you heard of Ofsted? Do you have inspection? In the form of St. Michael of Wilshaw. And lo, morale was all around. And the angel Ofsted was omnipresent and everywhere like a rash. And at that time, some teachers dwelt in the land of the good and the outstanding. And some teachers dwelt in the land of the satisfactory / requires improvement. For they had all been observed by the disciples. And the observations were more in number than the hairs on thy head. And yea, it is easier for a teacher to get through the eye of a camel than to be outstanding in class on a day-to-day basis. For verily, they are merely of human form. And some teachers dwelt in the land of the inadequate, and they envied and despised those who were good or outstanding, and even the satisfactory / requires improvement ones. And this did divide the teachers, and there was gnashing of teeth, and they said, verily, this is an iniquitous system. And those who dwelt in the land of the inadequate and those who spake out against the disciples were demonized and sent to the fires of hell and capability proceedings. And the teachers did mutter in the corner of the staff room, but they did not speak out, for they were sore afraid. And the angel Ofsted returned to earth in his firmament, and he said, thy will is done on earth. And the God of Data looked upon the world of education, and he saw that it was good, with outstanding features. And on the fifth day, the God of Data sent forth his only begotten Son, the Messiah, Jehovah. He who was born under the star of King David. He who was conceived in the Garden of Eden. And Jehovah looked a little sinister, a bit like the child catcher in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And Jehovah sat on the extreme right hand of King David, and Tory shone around. And Jehovah begat aggressive performance management, which begat performance-related pay, which begat regionalised pay, and all of these begat capability proceedings, which begat more fear. And Jehovah, the God of Data incarnate, who did a lot of begetting, begat restructuring and other euphemisms for educational cuts and the micromanagement of people. And Jehovah built temples to worship the God of Data, and he said, they shall be called academies and free schools, and they were called that. And Jehovah said, to the pensioner, arise, roll away thy rollator and teach. And for the old shall be retrained in the art of pedagogy, for verily anyone can teach, and the qualified shall work till 80 years, unless the God of Data taketh them away very early, before the glorious a pension day, to sit beside him in the great spreadsheet in the sky. And Jehovah said, suffer the little children, and the little children did suffer. For they knew not what the new tests meant. And on the sixth day, the God of Data said, behold, it is the weekend, and it shall be a time of rest, but not for the teachers, who will take on piles of marking, lesson preparation, and mind-numbingly meaningless assessments. And the angel Ofsted shall be in their thoughts at all times, and shall be called Ofsted in the head. And they will be filled with the fear of God. And the God of Data looked down upon the world of education, and he saw that it was outstanding with heavenly features. And the teacher said, Jesus Christ, and God help us. But he did not. Here endeth the lesson. May the God of data categorise you all. In the name of the Holy Trinity, the three in one, the tick box, the national curriculum level and the learning objective, amen. And women. Thank you. I normally finish with a sum. I've got one more. I'm going to do this. I asked Paul if it was right to do this one. Because I lived in the middle of Bodmin. And it's a town in Cornwall. And I don't like swearing very much. My family didn't swear very much. And they'd walk past my fence. I'd be sitting in the garden. And be a fucking, it's a fucking wanking in the fucking. I just got fed up with it. So I imagined, you walk around and you come to Ireland. And it's great, you walk around. So it's all saying, aren't they? Oh, fucking this fucking bottom. But you know, I just figured actually, you know, you could save yourself a lot of breath. And I imagine one of these people reading the 10 o'clock news. So please understand, this is not me talking. This is somebody, habitual swearer, yeah, reading the 10 o'clock. This is called the 10 o'clock fucking news. Good fucking evening, this is the 10 o'clock fucking news for folks who can't stop swearing or like being verbally abused. The fucking poet laureates, the poet laureate's been murdered in Hyde fucking Park. Police are looking for a stick-thin man, John Cooper fucking Clark. The fucking Queen's opened two new fucking station. Prince fucking Philip insulted a group of Asians. The fucking EDL went on a violent fucking spree, hurling racial insults at the fucking BNP. They beat each other black and fucking blue. Fucking brilliant. Fucking true. Fuck me, the Prince of Wales went... Fuck me, the Prince of Wales took Camilla to the fucking sales. She bought Sussex, Dorset and fucking Kent. And when the money was fucking spent, she sold fucking Cornwall to raise some cash. Charles came out in a fucking rash. There's been a fucking earthquake, Uzbekistan's been hit. Fox News doesn't know where it is, so no one gives a shit. Paris Hilton's been fucking stolen. Justin Bieber's ankle is fucking swollen. Simon fucking Cowell has found a new rising star. He just looked in the mirror and said, there you fucking are. There's been fucking bloodshed in the Middle East. Germany's on holiday in fucking Greece. UKIP have won the fucking election. Vladimir fucking Putin says he's got a permanent erection. A free school has been opened by a company lacking scruple. Nobody fucking wants it, so he's got no fucking pupils. The fucking bankers have stolen all the fucking money. Michael fucking McIntyre isn't fucking funny. Donald fucking Trump has got a new fucking wig. His fucking little penis isn't very fucking big. The plain fucking English speaking society has accused the BBC of fucking impropriety. And finally, here's a funny little fucking story. Somebody's been bonging brown envelopes to a fucking backbench Tory. The weather tomorrow will be fucking first class. So fuck off, good fucking night, and kiss my fucking ass. Thank you very much.